Senhor.
Drifting
Tonight, and I thank the Lord for him coming. You pray for him. I appreciate the Lord crossing our paths. He's been a dear friend to me, and I know he means a lot to this church. And you open up your Bibles and open up your hearts. Let's hear from heaven. God help him tonight. Come on, brother. Come on, the Lord.
Amen. Appreciate you. Love you too, brother. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house this evening. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. His presence already,
being
in this place, and like the old song says, it'd be all in vain unless the power of the Holy One comes down. And we sure couldn't do nothing without him of any value. We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? And we probably could do some things without him. We just couldn't do nothing without him of any eternal value. And so I sure am thankful I can feel the presence of the Lord in my heart tonight. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm born again, and I'm glad I'm one of his today, and I'll be one of his tomorrow, and the day after that, and then the next day. Amen. You understand the picture, right? I'm one of his, and I'm sure am thankful that I'm saved tonight. And Brother Kevin said this earlier, and I mean this from my heart. I hope in revival, and I hope in the meeting this week, that every night that we gather, that you'll be sensitive to the Lord. And they won't nobody get in my way. Matter of fact, it would get in my way more if you're not obedient to the Lord. And we're in this thing together. And I just want you to be faithful to the Lord. And I never have been one that's thought it was about me. I know what I am. And it's not about me. It's about the Lord and his presence. And it's not anything that I can do. But I want to rely upon the Lord and count upon him. And I know that he's faithful. And I know that he can do all things. Amen. Let's open our Bibles tonight. I'm in the book of Ruth, chapter number 1. Ruth chapter number 1. Read some verses here. And I really wish I had enough time to go through every one of these chapters, but I know that I don't. I really don't. But if there's any book in the Bible, and all of them is wonderful, every one of them is good. But every chapter here, there's 4 chapters in the book of Ruth, and every one of them is packed full of the grace of God and His sovereignty. God performs His will. God does what needs to be done. And I'm glad God's on the throne, by the way. I thank God for it. I want to get in this story here and try to give you my heart and just give you what I feel the Lord wants me to deal with tonight. Hope I can be a blessing. Hope I can help you from the Word of God. All right, Ruth chapter number 1. Now let's start reading here in verse number 1. Read the first 6 verses here tonight. Ruth chapter number 1, verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, the name of his 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. They came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. They dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. You can be seated this evening. That's reading 6 verses here in the Word of God. And this context of the Scripture, of course, deals with the story and the life of a lady named Ruth, and this family, Abimelech and his wife Naomi, and their sons. Now the story gets, as we look into the passage, it starts out kind of dark. It's a very dark picture in the Word of God. Now I want to preach about verse number 6, and we'll get there in just a second, where the Bible said that the Lord had visited his people. And we'll get to that text and that passage of Scripture. But we need to understand what's going on in the passage and in the Word of God. The Bible said that there was a famine in the land. We know what a famine is. There was a lack of food. There was a lack of water and crops. And it was a very, very desperate time down there in Bethlehem, Judah. Now to say this about Bethlehem, Judah, it is the house of bread. Now that don't make a lot of sense if you think about it, that the house of bread has no bread. And the house of plenty and the fruitful place of Bethlehem seems to be in a famine. And there's a scarcity of water, and there's not no crops growing. It seems like a pretty dry time. But it was still the house of bread. And that's where God dwelled. That's where God's people dwelled. That's where the presence of God was. That's where God's provision was. And we understand that, and I can't stand here tonight and say that Abimelech, I don't know what I would have done in this situation. I understand what he's doing. He's looking around at the country, and he's looking around at the desperate time that they was in, and he sees that there's not much hope. So he said, I believe what we'll have to do is we'll have to leave where we're at and find us another place to dwell. And he sets his sights toward a place that is called Moab. Now he's leaving Bethlehem, Judah, and he's going to travel down to Moab. I looked into it and found that it was some approximately 50 miles that he traveled. That don't seem too far, especially in our standards and in our day and means of travel. But for Abimelech to get his family and for them to be on foot and for them to travel down some 50 miles, it seemed like a longer journey. I want to tell you, it was a lot longer than what it was. In all reality, it was much, much longer. It seemed like 50 miles is not really that far. But the 50 miles that he traveled, I took him further and further away from the things of God. It got him into a place and got him into a bad shape. There was things that took place and happened down there in Moab that never would have took place if he had not had to live. I might say this tonight while I'm right there. It's always right to stay where God wants you to stay. I'd rather be with God in a famine as to be out in a place of Moab, of the worst part and the judgment of an almighty God, and have a bunch of the world's goods, wouldn't you? And so he takes him a trip. He leaves. I'm sure, as the Bible points out very plainly, he went to sojourn down in Moab. But he ended up staying there for 10 long years. He really wasn't going to do it. He was just going to go down there and maybe get their bags full of some food and come back to Bethlehem. He did not intend on staying there for 10 long years. But that's exactly what he did. And we know that in their reasoning, as they begin to think, they didn't understand what was going to take place. But when they got down there to Moab, the Bible said that her husband died. And then next thing you know, she's going down to the cemetery and she's burying her sons. And they also died. And they took them down there and buried them down in Moab. You know, she never thought that would take place. And she never thought that something like that would happen, but it surely happened, and it did happen in her life, and she's left by herself. And so Naomi is faced not only with the reasoning, but she understands the reality. I have lost everything that I had. All of my possessions are gone, and all of my family is gone. And matter of fact, she even explains to us that all of her hope is gone. She has no reason to continue on. And so she goes back and she lets her daughter-in-laws understand it and lets them know, I'm going back home. And she said, you can't go back with me. I have no sons. And if I did have a son and he was born into my family, then you'd have to wait until he reached a certain age. And she said, I'm already old, and that's never going to happen. And what Naomi is saying, yes, I'll never ever be able to get back. I'll never be able to get where I used to be down in Bethlehem, Judah. I want to say this tonight. Thank God. That's what revival's for, is to bring us back. Amen. To bring us back and to stir our hearts and to get us into the place where we're willing and ready to do what God wants us to do. Well, she's lost in her reasoning. They've chose and they've picked the wrong choice. They chose the wrong thing. The decision was made and it was wrong. And she gets down there and then reality sets in. Her family's dead and her womb is dead and she ain't got no hope. But then there is something that starts taking place. Did you notice in the scripture how the dark and the gloom in Naomi's life? Did you notice how bad that it really was in Naomi's life when she looked out the cemetery and she said, my husband's gone? And she looked a little bit further and she said, my sons are gone. And then she looked at herself and said, I'm gone. I have no hope. I cannot reproduce. Oh, but thank God, just as he always does, God was faithful one more time. Amen. And all of a sudden in Naomi's life, I don't know exactly how that it took place, and I don't know exactly how that it happened, but somehow or another, while Naomi's down there in Moab, somebody run through the town, kicking up that dust, you know, things is looking good. And they hollered out and said, there's bread in Bethlehem. God has visited. God has been faithful. God is back down in Bethlehem. And the famine is over. The dry times are over. The desperation is over. And they ran down through the city. And then all of a sudden, Naomi, she began to remember. Oh, the Lord hath visited again. She had reasoned within herself. Amen. She had made the wrong choice. Amen. Reality had set in. Oh, but she began to remember that bread. I'm going to say it like this tonight. That bread from another country. Amen. Oh, she knew what that was. Now, according to the scripture, I believe that Naomi was born and raised down there in Bethlehem. And she knew what it was like during harvest time, when it come time and come to pass, that all of a sudden God had sent that rain from glory. That corn would start popping up out there in the garden, and that wheat would start getting full. She remembered the smell of that wheat. She remembered what that corn looked like. I'd say she probably remembered what the sun looked like when it come in the sky. But there's one thing she never forgot. That's the taste of that bread. Lord of God. I'll tell you, there ain't no bread quite like his bread. Amen. No, she realized and she remembered there's bread down in Bethlehem. Oh, it started looking up in her life. Amen. Hell, now somebody run down there and said, reckon you ought to go back. And all of a sudden she thought, I don't know if I should or not. I can't go back now. Oh, but that bread, Brother Delmer, it was upon her mind. Amen. Let me just preach a little bit about that. I'm glad I got a good taste of bread from a far better country than what we got right now. Amen. I remember, I was thinking about it the other day. I remember when I was just young and just a boy, I was around Granny Velma's house one day, and she always listened to that radio, you know, and that she listened to the obituary in the morning and the evening, and if they played it at noon, she'd listen to it. I mean, she was very, very faithful and committed to listen to that. And as soon as they'd get right ready, you know, to give that, they'd put the old chuck wagon gang and they'd strum one little chord. And I don't know, they sung all kinds of old time songs, you know. I told my boy the other day, I said, I got a taste of that when I was about 9 or 10 years old. I said, son, I don't want nothing else. You give me that right there. Amen. Somebody knows what they're singing about. Oh, you can have contemporary stuff. You can have a smoke stove. You can put lights in the house of God. But give me some bread from another world. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. I got a taste of that bread. Brother Bill, I've watched the saints of God around the church. I've seen them raise their hands, and I've seen tears come down their face, and I've seen them lift their voice and praise and in adoration and worship to an almighty God. I've heard them holler, whoop, whoop, hallelujah, amen. I've heard them say, glory. I'm going to tell you, I got a taste, amen. Oh, there's something in that. You can say what you want, and you can do what you want. They just ain't nothing like bread from heaven. It's cooked just right, amen. Oh, she knew. I remember when I tasted that bread when I got born again. Amen. What is that bread, preacher? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Yeah. Amen. That's in the wait just a second now. He wants us to eat his flesh and drink of his blood. They said, that's not possible. But he said, I speak this to you. The words that I speak, they're spirit. Yeah. Amen. And they didn't understand that. He looked at them and said, I'll tell you, your fathers ate that bread in the wilderness and they are dead.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
But he said, if you're in this bread, you'll never be hungry again.
Right.
Well, glory. Hallelujah. I got a taste of that bread. And might I say tonight, it's mighty good bread. It never gets stale. It's always fresh. It's always wonderful. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Oh, there's bread from another country. Fixed up just right. Amen. You youngins, look up in here and listen real good. Hey, something about that bread. Amen. Oh, there's something about that bread. Thank God for bread. Amen. I fixed a little bit of eggs this morning. I'm hurrying. I'm just feeling real comfortable. Amen. Brother Mike, I fixed some eggs this morning. And my little grandbaby's running around the house, you know. And she's running out there. I fixed me 3 eggs, scrambled them up, and put them on some white bread. You understand what I'm talking about, right? Amen. And I thought maybe Nola would like a little bit of them eggs, and she never eats them, you know. I thought maybe she'll eat a little bit today. And I cut a little bit off of them eggs, and she was running around out there in the sunroom when I was sitting there eating. And I hollered out, I said, Nola, I said, you want an egg? And she said, yep. I said, come here. And I cut a little chunk off of what I'd fixed her and stuck that fork and I put it to her mouth and she ate it. And she looked at me and she said, And Heather said, she never eats them for me. I said, you don't cook them like Pop cooks them. Amen. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you can't cook it up. That God can cook it up. You can say what you want to say and do what you want to do. I'm going to tell you, when it comes from the throne, it'll be fresh and it'll feed your soul and it'll help you in the dry times. Oh, Naomi, remember that bread? I can see her through the avenue and through her vision by way of remembrance. And she remembers every step of the way it used to be. I used to be in Bethlehem. I remember God. Amen. Are you like that here tonight? Say, boy, I used to do this. You ain't got to be a used to. Amen. I used to raise my head. You still can. I used to holler, amen. You still can. There's bread. There's bread. There's bread down in Bethlehem. Amen. She's remembering. And that she understands. And it's really sparked her interest. And then all of a sudden Naomi begins to wander within her mind. I just wonder if maybe I could go back. I'd like to go back. I believe I'll go back home. Ain't that what he said a while ago? Something about going back home. Is that what he's talking about? Something about going home. Amen. I believe the God of heaven was calling Naomi. I'll come back home. I'll come back home. I've been missing you, Naomi. I'll come on back. I can see her look to heaven and say, God, God, you can't do nothing with me no more. Lord, I've lost my whole family. I've lost it all. I should have stayed and I left. And God, I don't deserve nothing. And the whole time, God saying, Naomi, come back home. Come on back home. Just come on back home, Naomi. Amen. And so she stops and she looks at her daughter-in-laws and she said, I'm headed back home. There's bread and God has visited his people and I'm headed back home. Amen. But you've got to stay. You can't go with me. Naomi, I looked at him and said, you can't go. I have no hope for you. I got no help for you. I have nothing. I don't have an inheritance. I have absolutely nothing. And Orpha said, I'm out. I'm done. And she runs back. But little old Ruth said, no, wait a second. Amen. What I thought was real interesting about the text of Scripture is Ruth makes a comment and said, I have come to trust under your God.
Amen.
Ain't that amazing? Naomi still had a God.
Amen.
Amen. Naomi still had a some reason, somehow it's come up in their everyday conversation, and Naomi said, I have a God, and he's the God Jehovah. And Ruth said, I don't know nothing about God. I'm a Moabitess. I'm a Moabitess woman. And she come from the heritage and from the lineage of Lot when he had a relationship, and that was one of his sons, and he named him Moab. And Ruth said, I ain't got a God. Matter of fact, my past is terrible. I ain't got nothing. And Naomi said, well, if you go with me, you'll have even less. I won't even be able to get back down there into Bethlehem, maybe. If you'll just have to stay here and hope for the best. And Ruth said, no. And Orpha separated, and she left. She was a leaver. And old Ruth said, I believe I'll cleave. Amen. And she grabbed on to the robe of Naomi and said, I'll go home with you. Now remember, it's 50 miles now, and they ain't got a truck, and they don't have nothing. They walk, they travel, and they walk, and it wasn't easy. Oh, I imagine they sit down a time or two. I may get just a little bit beside myself. I'm trying to be real careful. Amen. I imagine maybe from time to time, I imagine Ruth looked at her and said, now hold on a second. So you're telling me that God used to bless yuns, and he used to be good to yuns, and yuns left that place. What in the world are yuns thinking about? We had to make a decision. We didn't know what to do, and we chose the wrong thing. But that was our choice, and I'm living with the consequences. You might ought to remember that. We will live with the consequences of every choice that we make. I live with my choices, and you live with your choice. Thank God for a God of grace and mercy and love and redemption. But every choice has a consequence that comes along with it. Amen. Oh, amen. And she explains to her, and she tells her, and Ruth said, that's fine. I want to go back. I see the return. Do you see that? I see as they're on their way back home. And all of a sudden they get to the gates of Bethlehem. And the gates are open. And it just, it's amazing to me. But it's all of a sudden time for harvest. Amen. At Marley's again. And they're out there working it and threshing and taking it in. And Naomi walks in. Now remember this, during your return, Naomi walks in. And they look at her. And they said, there's Naomi.
Yep.
It's a lot different than what Naomi may have thought. I believe she probably thought, they'll reject me. They'll say. And I also want you to notice this. Them people knew her when she left and knew her when she come back. There's a few people that didn't leave.
All right, brother. Yep.
Hallelujah. There's a few people that didn't leave. And as soon as the fresh bread came, they said, glory! Glory! I believe that's the people running down to Moab said, we got bread! You bunch of liars, we got bread! We got bread! He got it again!
Amen!
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 That's right.
Now she returns. They said, this is Naomi. She said, call me not. Call me Mara, for the Lord hath been dealt very bitterly with me. That's what the name Mara means, the bitter waters of Mara. That's a bitterness. And she said, God has dealt very bitterly with me. Turns, amen. And they welcome her right in.
Amen.
Amen. She's returning. She's returning. She's on her way back home. Amen. Thank God. And she gets back home. Amen. Now, let's notice the story here. As Ruth and Naomi come back to town, all of a sudden Ruth leaves her mother-in-law. Now, she just walks over, you know, by chance. By absolute luck.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, preacher.
Yeah,
how about that?
Naomi's, I ain't been here in 10 years. I used to know the boundaries. I used to know where the Smiths lived and the Joneses lived. I used to know that whole place. Remember where nobody lives now? Ruth said, I'm going to get us some food, Naomi. Yeah. She walked over there, you know, started picking that food up. About that time, by chance, Hey, man. You know, by luck, Boaz, he don't have to hit a lick at nothing. He owns it all.
Right.
He walks out on his porch, looks out over that field. He said, oh, my, that lady right there is beautiful. Whose damsel is this?
Yeah.
He does everything legal, by the way.
Yeah.
He didn't go get her. He inquired of her first. Whose damsel is it? So we don't know who it is, but we think she came back with Naomi. It's a daughter-in-law. Husband's dead, and they've been Moab. Amen. And Moab said, okay. So he already understands. Well, when she goes home, when Ruth goes home, and she starts taking all that stuff back home. And Naomi said, man, you had a productive day. Where you been? She said, well, I'll tell you the corner of where I was at, and there's a guy inquired about me. His name's Boaz. I don't know who he is. Matter of fact, leave me alone. I got to go to my mother-in-law. Just leave me alone.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden, Naomi stopped and said, what? What'd you say his name was?
Yeah. Praise the Lord, bro.
She said, hold on. Did you say his name was Boaz?
Yeah.
Did you say his name? That was Boaz.
Yeah.
Ruth said, yeah, that's what he said. Boaz. I don't know him. I don't know nothing about him. Naomi said, blessed be the Lord God.
Yes,
do you notice the rejoicing when God visits his people?
Yes.
Naomi didn't have no hope. Naomi didn't have nothing. She's done. She's through. It's over. But when she gets real still and said, where are you? She said, in the field of Boaz. She said, Lord God. That's my husband's relative. That's exactly who that is. I know Boaz. She whipped out and said, he owns this whole mountainside. He owns this whole thing. Amen. Used to help me and my husband when we was on hard times. Oh, Boaz is a good man. I won't tell you what you better do. Blessed be the Lord. Ain't that what she's saying? She's saying, hallelujah. Hallelujah. She said, glory. I made it back home. It's better now. It's much better. She said, glory to God. He's done it again. He's done it again. He's done it again. He's done it again. Amen. And she understands what's taking place and what's going on within her life. She knows that she's rejoicing when God visits his people. She's rejoicing. Ain't that right? Last chapter in this book, Ruth chapter number 4, and I'm hurrying. Last chapter, you know the work and the process. I don't have enough time, but Ruth and Boaz get married. And Boaz goes in unto his wife, and God blesses her, and she has a son. Amen.
Yep.
Now here's the part that's real good.
Yeah.
It's Naomi's restoration.
Yeah.
When God visits his people, there'll be some folks get restored.
Yeah. Amen.
And Ruth has a boy. And you know how it was in the Bible and the scripture. The whole town of Bethlehem, Judah, come out to this baby being born. And one of them looked and said, let's give a name to it. And we'll see what takes place. And see what happens and see what transpires. But before we do, there's one more thing we got to do to let everybody know that God forgives sin. I thought somebody would holler amen right there.
Brother.
God is a merciful God.
Amen.
And they went over and hollered at Naomi. Said, come in here and look at your new grandma. Come right on in.
Yeah.
Handed that little baby boy.
Yeah.
And Naomi looked down. And I don't know what she said. And I don't want to add to the scriptures, but I've had a time thinking about it. Because, Brother Josh, there's been some times that God's done some things for me that I didn't deserve, and I had to hold them and look. And say, I don't know how he does this. And maybe she looked down at him and said, my womb is dead. Amen. I can't bear kids. There's no way I can produce. It's not within my ability. And Ruth said, I'll have as many as we can have. I'm here for you. God has worked it out again. I'm telling you, I don't know how God does things, but he surely does things. I ain't got it figured out how God does it. I just know that he does it. And when he does it, he does it well. Real, real good.
Yeah, man. Good preaching.
All of a sudden they came down and said, Naomi, God hath given you the restorer of life. She held it in her hands. That was the restorer of her life. Her lineage could keep going. And God blessed her and she'd been restored. I just wonder how good God restored old Naomi. I'll tell you how good he restored her. He gave her a little boy to Ruth. And they just so happened to name him Obed. That was her grandson, Obed. And then there's a man named Obed. One day he had a son. He named him Jesse. And then a little bit later there's Ammon. Ammon.
Amen.
Hey, 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 hey. Hallelujah. Thank God for the book and for his power. And all of a sudden, old Jesse had a little baby one day and named him David. Now, you may not know Obed, and you may not know Naomi, and you may not know Jesse, but David ought to be pretty familiar. And down there in David's hometown, which is Bethlehem, there's another man you might be familiar with. His name is Jesus. Amen. And he was born. And old Naomi's in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because God restored her. God restored. God visits his people. There he is again. Amen. There he is again. Amen. Just like clockwork, he's faithful every time. Always has been, always will be. He is faithful. Well, I didn't know God could do that. Well, now you do. He surely can. He can do it. He can do it over and over and over again. He can do it.
Amen.
Let's stand tonight. I'm through.